All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grim's Fujoshi Corner, or Grim's Fujo Corner. I think that's what we're going to call it, Grim's Fujo Corner. What is a Fujo or Fujoshi? Well, it is a straight woman who absolutely loves yaoi, and we're going to play some yaoi stuff because this is our waifu sexual and husbando sexual pride month, so we're doing that. Don't worry, you're going to get a lot of waifu games as well, but we're doing something new for the Fujos out there that might be watching my content and may be interested in it. So let's go ahead and get started. Hold on, guys. I am not gonna... Yeah, that's gotta go a little faster than that. There we go. This nation is the focal point of collective identity. So long as they are safe within this symbolic placenta, the people have no need to doubt. Behold the wages of hubris. The Third Division, Mankind's Third World War, 20XX AD. As it rode the wave of economic expansion that accompanied its shifting national zeitgeist, the small island nation of Japan started down the path of remilitarization. A totalitarian national ideology. Control over the citizenry that all began in the womb. Education geared towards producing loyal soldiers. A system optimized for war. Or so the people believed. I'll get this right today. But the nightmare of war far exceeded their predictions, and the terrible scars left in its aftermath made recovery a distant hope indeed. After the war, the survivors, desperate for hope, took the drastic measure of splitting Japan in two, east and west. East and west, under the direction of their respective leaders, each side began to rebuild. These efforts focused at first on the rural areas, which had sustained relatively little damage before proceeding towards the cities, which had suffered by far the worst. This period was marked by a number of dramatic policy changes, all geared towards cutting ties with the past and establishing a new national ideology. Most iconic among these was the rechristening of the former capital, dubbed the Old Lands. This blasted city was consigned to the oblivion of memory. Everyone believed that this would clear the way for a better future. 5 years passed. Alas, the cracks from which all had averted their eyes grew wider in the interim, soon threatening to swallow the nation whole. The sudden shift in ideology had left the citizens bewildered, and the abandonment of the former capital had transformed the Old Lands into a hotbed of crime. The rot was too widespread for the government to contain, and the country was still divided into East and West. One of the two sides would eventually govern all of Japan, but unable to guess at the burdens involved, both hesitated to move forward. Additionally, each side held a different vision of how the nation should be reborn. Reunification talks fell apart again and again, and so the future hung on the brink. The brief glimpse of light at the end of the tunnel had begun to recede into darkness. death. He thought it beautiful. He remembered body bags, human shapes swathed like babies in their gentle embrace. He remembered lowering their zippers to reveal the unmoving objects within. That was how the soldiers had always looked when they returned to the shelter. He thought them beautiful. To him, they seemed to be asleep. What was death, anyway? The cessation of function. The heart stops, the lungs stop, the brain stops, the body falls into an endless sleep. Was that not what it meant, to die? But was that all? Was there nothing more? He himself was in no hurry to die, but nor did he have any particular attachment to life. Even if he abruptly died in his sleep, that would be just fine. He tried to imagine himself fighting desperately to survive. What would be the purpose of that? What could he hope to accomplish by staying alive? What was the difference between life and death, aside from the cessation of one's bodily functions? He pondered these things constantly, even while watching his fists tear through flesh to shatter the hard bone beneath. A pleasant numbness spread from Akira's knuckles to his brain, like bubbles in a carbonated drink. The man's knees buckled and he sank slowly to the ground. The unnatural silence, like a silent movie playing in slow motion, broke the instant he collapsed. All at once, there rose a storm of noise, noise, and more noise. Rough voices clashed in disharmony, stinging Akira's ears. The man had been huge, both taller and heavier than Akira. He had looked down at Akira with eyes that pitied the ant he was about to crush beneath his heel. But that hadn't lasted for long. The match had ended almost as soon as it begun. Now the bitter howls of those who'd lost their bets mixed with the cries of those thrilled by the victory. Some approached with appellant smiles, asking for comments like television reporters. Countless fists smacked him on the shoulders as if to laud the return of an old war buddy. Naked light bulbs swayed in the dimness, conspiring with the shadows to make the spectators stand out oddly. The crowd was gathered in one corner of a filthy black back lot. All were young, though they ran the gamut from those who had never seen blood before to those who had seen too much. They were all here for one reason. To witness a competition of strength. Shaking the blood from his fists, Akira pushed his way through the onlookers and headed for the cool depths of the alley, as if to flee their clinging eyes. He did not even spare a glance for the man he had just defeated. The air he inhaled was chilly. He pulled his jacket a little tighter around his neck. As the noise of the crowd receded, Akira felt like he was stepping into a different world. About 3 blocks away was the spot where blaster participants gathered to rest from the fighting. Someone had scrawled restroom in red marker on the wall. Several youths were already there, smoking or drinking cheap booze as they chatted amongst themselves. Most were participants in tonight's contest, but there were also among them retired fighters who had come to boast about past glory. To an outsider, they would look like a gang of delinquents, which was more or less precisely what they were. Akira walked past the others lounging on the roadside, then sat down in his usual spot by the back wall. As he enjoyed the feeling of the cool asphalt through his jeans, he felt a sigh escape his lips. That last opponent, he was nothing. Akira hadn't even broken a sweat. This is how it had been for a while now. No one had been able to so much as bloody his lip. Which was why the more fired up his audience got, the more empty he felt inside. He was there for the prize money. Nothing more. Letting out another sigh, Akira leaned his head against the wall and cast his eyes up at the sky. Tonight, there was a lovely full moon. After World War III started, it had been years before people could look at the sky. During the war and in the immediate aftermath, most of the population had lived in colossal underground shelters. There, children were separated from their parents and raised to be perfect soldiers. They were taught to kill, to die. Glory to those who slay our enemies. Your life belongs to your country. Yet the war ended before those children ever saw battle, and the next thing they knew, the very same nation that had called on them to kill and die was asking them to forge a bright, loving future. The reversal was all too reckless and all too sudden. It began with forced establishment of new family units. Normally one might think that the children would have been returned to the parents from whom they'd been taken, but this was not the case. Parents and children who had never met were assigned to one another at random and forced to live beneath one roof as a family. Of course, there was no way that these families could function. Abuse, neglect, and violence ran rampant. The children had been taught nothing except how to fight. How were they supposed to feel? What was love, anyway? They had no one to teach them the answer. Their parents were hardly up to the task. In their confusion, the children turned to battle. They had been taught that defeating one's enemy was the greatest possible glory, but the war had ended before any of them could put their training to use. These children needed a place to test their strength. How did it feel to fight for one's life? What could you see at the edge of death? As if pursuing the answers to those questions, the lost children clashed with one another on the streets. Soon these became known as blaster fights. The government of Japan deliberately turned a blind eye, although they passed new laws to make it plain that deaths would not be tolerated. And so blaster thrived. It began on the CFC side and quickly spread to Nichiren as well. Rules took shape, and soon both group and individual fights were being held. Japan's youths were starved for battle, and Akira was one of them. At the sound of approaching footsteps, Akira lowered his gaze from the moon. Two lanky silhouettes stopped in front of him. Hey, Akira! Well, it's Akira, not Akira, but whatever. The man with the yellow mohawk, which Akira thought made him look like a rooster, grinned and raised his hand. Yo! The other one, a sickly-looking guy with long black hair, peered down at Akira with a smirk. Each of them was holding a bottle of booze. Akira had few acquaintances, but these were two of them. They'd been hanging around him ever since he started coming here. He'd ignored them at first, but they'd kept coming. And before he knew it, talking to them had become a regular thing. Yo, Akira, Hey, Akira, heard you won again, and it was a one-hit KO. Damn, man, you're crazy strong. Ace, the one with the mohawk, approached with his distinctive one-leg dragging gait, then plopped down beside Akira. Wish I'd seen it. It was Ace's fault we didn't make it in time. D, the long-haired one, stood in front of them with a wide grin on his face. After giving D the finger, Ace triumphantly thrust his bottle at Akira. It looked like beer with a red label. Know what this is? Akira had no interest in booze. He shook his head brusquely, causing Ace to purse his lips. Jeez, you're a downer. Well, this here's a real rare beer. Ain't easy to find. It's crazy expensive. When I heard you won, I asked my guy to dig one up. Yeah, but Akira doesn't drink, right? Rocking back to look up, Ace waved his hand dismissively. No prob. It's the thought that counts, yeah? The loyalty I'm showing by splurging to celebrate Akira's win. To lost! Ignoring Ace, D raised his bottle high. Hey, asshole, wait till I'm done talking, would you? Now you fucked the whole thing up. Ace leaned forward, eyes bulging as he lashed out at D. You took too long, got bored. Come on, hurry up and do the toast already. Ace shot a glare at the smirking D, then cleared his throat a bit. Okay, let's try this again. To lost! Ace hoisted his bottle overhead, clinked it against D's, and downed the beer in one gulp. Lost was Akira's alias in Blaster. No one remembered who'd come up with the name. Somewhere along the way, it had simply become the norm. Akira didn't mind. Names meant little to him. Wah! That's some good shit! D shrugged his shoulders and took tiny sips as Ace laughed heartily, breath reeking of alcohol. Didn't get to see him this time around, but the other guy was pretty buff, huh? Guess you took care of him quick, like always. In this sector area, Ray, Akira, lost, was known to all as the undefeated champion of the individual bouts. Once upon a time, he had looked forward to these fights, but the enthusiasm of those early battles had vanished long ago, and now not even embers remained. These days, he approached every fight with the same sense of a foregone conclusion. He was there to earn a living, that's all, because there was nothing else he wanted to do. He wasn't even all that interested in the prize money, as long as he had enough to meet his meager expenses. Akira had no dreams, no goals. He stayed alive only because he felt neither the need nor the inclination to die. Hey, I heard you turned down another offer from, who was it again? Someplace famous. The Hondo Group? Yeah, that's it. That's the one. What a waste, man. A smacked the palm of his hand with his fist and jabbed an index finger at D. From time to time, corporations scouted blaster fighters who had earned recognition on the circuit. By and large, they were connected to the underworld, Yakuza, or private security. But in this day and age, having someone to pay your way was worth a lot. Most fighters jumped at the chance. If you were good enough, you might even get an offer from the world of pro sports. Unsurprisingly, Akira had no interest in any of this. He'd need more than one hand's worth of fingers to count the invitations he'd refused up until now. The Hondo Group recruiter had looked as if he'd been trying to advertise his Yakuza ties. Akira recalled his gaudy, Nouvelle Riche dress, but not his face or what he'd said. Akira was only here because he didn't mind fighting. He'd never given any thought to his future. If he ever ran out of prize money, he supposed that he could always find work as a day laborer. He saw no need to think any further ahead. Ace and Dee, who would automatically keep the conversation going whether or not Akira had anything to say, were actually rather well built, despite their gangly looks. Their nails were black with dirt and grime, and their knuckles bore the telltale scars of a street fighter. Was the money really worth the sweat and blood they'd shed? Either way, there was no shortage of blaster participants looking to get rich, or just let off some steam. How about we team up for the group championships, yeah? Could call ourselves the Ultimate Dumbass Brothers or something. The fuck? D's bottle was almost empty, even though he'd been taking little sips, and he waved it as he joked around. Ace laughed brusquely. They were nearing full-on drunkenness. Speaking of ultimate, I want to try being like Pesikosha just once. Ace wiped tears of laughter from the corners of his eyes as he murmured dreamily. Pesik? Akira wasn't familiar with the name. It must have shown on his face. You're kidding. As soon as they noticed Akira's confusion, the two friends' eyes went wide. Don't tell me you've never heard of Pesikosha. Even little kids know about him, maybe. No way! No goddamn way a blaster champion's never heard about. But hey, who am I talking to, right? You with your head always up in the clouds. Akira scowled, feeling like an idiot. Even he knew when he was being made fun of. As if it pleased him to have one up on the champion, Ace put a gleeful smirk and wagged his index finger from side to side. I'll be a gentleman and explain it to you, Chief. Pesikosha was a team from Area Ghost led by this dude, Coat. They totally ruled the scene a while back. They were like you, undefeated. Nobody could touch them, the ultimate team. Ace balled his hands into trembling fists as though recalling the excitement he'd felt back then. Come to think of it, Akira had a feeling he'd heard the name before, but he couldn't recall where. They were monsters, alright, in more ways than one. D's interjection wiped the grin off Ace's face. Yeah, they also had a real bad rep. Did some awful shit like it was nothing. So what you're saying is you want to do some heinous shit like they did. D grinned maliciously, crossing his arms. That ain't what I said, Ace howled, waving his hands theatrically. I just want to be as strong as them, dumbass. Ow! Ace slammed his fist down against the top of D's head. Didn't you hear the story of my heroic battle with the cops? Dude, you're the one who ought to cut that creepy long hair of yours. Patting his injured right knee, which he claimed often had been wounded in righteous battle against the forces of tyranny, Ace reached out and seized hold of D's hair. Ouch! Ow! You say that, but they only chased you because they saw you grab someone's purse. What's so damn heroic about that? D wailed, pulled forward by his hair. Leaning against the wall, Akira watched their antics with a detached eye. He didn't mind being around these guys. They did whatever they wanted, regardless of how he responded. It was much more relaxing than being with people who were always gauging his reaction. He didn't care to have others tell him where he belonged. If they thought he was going to play their game of superficial friendship, then they were doomed to be disappointed. He never said so out loud, but apparently it showed in his demeanor. People picking baseless fights with him had just become another part of his day-to-day life. Hey Akira, help me out here. Ace is the biggest dumbass, right? With his parted hair captured on both sides, D shot Akira a desperate look. Akira didn't mind hanging out with these guys, but of course everything had its limit. Sighing, Akira reluctantly opened his mouth. Relax. You're the same. That's probably the first thing Akira had said since coming to this sector. As if they planned it, both of them looked at Akira at the same time with the same expression. They even mirrored each other in how their shoulders slumped, crestfallen. This drew laughter from the scattered onlookers who'd wandered in during the show. Looking up at the sky, Akira returned to his thoughts. Even if the moon vanished one day, things would be just fine. Even without its light to guide them, those who crawled the earth would find some way to get by. In this place, there was rest from the strain of living. That's why Akira kept finding himself here. Soon, Ace and D recovered, and the sound of their banter once again filled the comforting darkness. Only an hour or two after falling asleep, the thunderous bang of the door crashing in tore him from his precious rest. Footsteps pounded hard enough to make the bed springs creak, dragging Akira up out of slumber. In his half-asleep state, he couldn't process what was happening. This was Akira's apartment, a tiny room in a run-down building, empty but for a bed, a refrigerator, and a small lamp. The floor and walls were bleak concrete. Takuro needed little more than a place to eat, sleep, and shelter from the rain. It was the perfect room. Comfortable, and empty of meaning. Who had shattered his peace and quiet? Probably someone he'd beaten looking for revenge. It wouldn't be the first time. Too lethargic to rise, he remained sprawled in bed, even as he sensed them coming up beside him. Hey, wake up! Split second later, someone seized the front of his hair and yanked his head off the pillow. Oh, shit. Two men in black uniforms. They weren't from Blaster. The one gripping Akira by the hair looked high-strung with slick back hair and a thin face. The one standing behind him was well-built. Both were wearing white gloves and had clubs strapped to their waists. Cops. Seeing Akira's glare, the thin-faced officer let out a snort of laughter. Got something to say? Without letting go of Akira's hair, the man punched him hard in the face. You're coming with us. For what? He had no idea. You're wanted for murder. What? Murder? He looked at the well-built officer. Sure you don't have me confused with someone else? Though the post-war chaos had at last begun to calm down, the system was... pardon me, still full of holes, false arrests were hardly unusual. What did you say? The thin-faced officer's temple twitched. Let go. He tried to shake free, but the man only gripped tighter. Shit. Kids these days have no respect. You think it's okay to talk to an officer like that? Narrow eyebrows rising, the thin-faced policeman contorted his lips in a sneer. No point playing innocent. You'll just add more charges if you resist. You're lost, right? Guess you got tired of your kiddie fights, huh? Graduated to the real thing? Worthless piece of shit. If they knew his alias, it meant they also knew his reputation on the streets. He doubted they had a positive image of Blaster. Knowing he was the champion, they probably thought he was some kind of psycho. Don't think you're hot shit just because you're famous in those little street fights. I didn't do it. Akira snapped, his voice low. The thin-faced officer grabbed him hard by the jaw and jerked their faces together. His eyes were full of contempt. You can make your excuses at the station. With that, he released Akira's hair and stepped away. Immediately, the well-built officer seized both of Akira's arms and dragged him out of bed and pinned his hands behind him. Let go! Shut up! As Akira attempted to shake him off, the thin-faced officer clubbed him in the back. It was a merciless blow, knocking the breath from his lungs. Get a move on, will you? Grinning, the thin-faced officer leaned forward and tapped Akira on the side of the face with the end of his club. The officer behind him hauled him to his feet, then marched him through the front door. Even more than the false accusation was their attitude that infuriated him. They probably hadn't performed a real investigation. He didn't normally give a damn about how this country was run, but that didn't mean he was about to let these cops walk all over him. Huh? What? Whoa? Huh? As soon as Akira was through the door, he heard a familiar voice. Turning, he saw a friendly face, eyes, and mouth agape. It was Keisuke, frozen in place with his hand stretched towards the doorknob. His coveralls were so stained with black that it was hard to make out the original color. Out of the way! The thin-faced policeman shoved him aside with his club. What? Hey, wait up a sec! Coming back to himself as he staggered, Keisuke laid a frantic hand on the shoulder of the officer restraining Akira. The officer flung him back with so much force, Keisuke staggered again. For a second he looked shocked, but then his anger flared. I said, hold on! What did Akira do? You want to spend the night in a cell? Asshole! Keisuke dove at them, but the well-built officer shouldered him away. Akira! The power of the blow was too much. Keisuke collapsed with a groan. Come on, get walking! Akira looked over his shoulder as they dragged him along. Keisuke was watching him, face screwed up in pain. Even after the officers forced him to face forward again, Akira could sense Keisuke's eyes staring helplessly at his back.